One of the very surprising things one learns when one studies history and reads the works of scholars is that the New Testament was not originally seen by Christians as inspired by God or the Word of God or on an equal footing with the Jewish scriptures. And this is quite remarkable because today we have the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible, with the Old and the New Testament. And these are seen as equal and both authoritative Word of God. But they weren't originally seen that way. Now, I want to discuss very briefly why this might be the case. And I'm going to be reading just a few paragraphs from this excellent book, A History of the Bible, the Book and Its Faiths, by John Barton, who I had the privilege of interviewing on this very channel. Who is John Barton? Well, the back cover tells us. He's the Professor of the Interpretation of Holy Scripture at the University of Oxford. In other words, he's a biblical scholar, and he has been a priest in the Church of England. So he's a committed Christian, but also one of the world's leading biblical scholars. And this book was published just a couple of years ago, and I highly recommend it if you want a really good, thorough, scholarly understanding of the history and the origins and the interpretation of the Bible. So in chapter 10, just a few paragraphs just to show why the early Christians, the early church, did not view the New Testament as the Word of God. Remarkable, because today Christians do. So what happened? When did it happen? What are the facts? So John Barton will be our guide. And he says in chapter 10, headed Christians and Their Books. By the end of the first century CE, at the end of the first century AD, the books now in the Hebrew Bible, the accumulated literature of ancient Israel, had acquired an official status for Jews, which Christians, whether Jews or non-Jews, took for granted. When they are quoted in either Christian or Jewish sources, it is with formulas such as "it is written" or "as scripture says." There is a certain formality and weight about these books, many of which, even from the start, claim authority as a word from God. This is particularly clear, for example, in Deuteronomy. It's one of the earlier books of the Bible, and he quotes a few lines from Deuteronomy chapter 30 to give you a flavour of how this sounds. "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish." End quote. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 onwards. So you get a really strong claim to be a word of God. God himself is speaking. This is formal. You know, these are the scriptures, absolutely. John Barton continues, "The possibility that further books might still be added to the collection was not yet fully excluded, but there is no doubt about the status of the books that have come down to us as the Hebrew Bible." So they're basically a word of God. They claim to be the word of God, very clearly spoke with that authority. Barton continues, "The New Testament, on the other hand, did not begin life as a collection of sacred writings at all, but as occasional literature, highly important, but not sacrosanct." Wow. I mean, that's quite shocking when you think about it. What's occasional literature? Well, it's like a letter. So Paul writes a letter to the Corinthians, an actual letter. So it's not God speaking like in that amazing quote from Deuteronomy. "Each of Paul's letters," John Barton says, "is addressed to a specific situation in one of the local churches. And though he no doubt intended his letters to be kept and reread, they were not holy in the way that the Hebrew scriptures unequivocally were." Now, I'm going to give an example here, which John Barton doesn't give, but just to really drive that point home. I want to read from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, called in our Bibles, I'm going to read here from HarperCollins Study Bible, what we now call 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it's just a verse. And he's talking in this letter about his directions for marriage. So it's very much, you know, how to live as a good Christian in Corinth. And then he says in verse 12 something very interesting. Paul is writing this. To the rest, I say, I and not the Lord, that if any believer has a wife who is an unbeliever and that she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. So Paul's giving instructions about how to live as a Christian concerning marriage. But note what he says. To the rest, I say, I, Paul, I am not the Lord. So his teaching is not from God. This is not revelation. These are not commandments, ordinances from God. He's giving his view, his opinion. He, you know, this is a church that he founded in Corinth. How different from the Jewish scriptures, particularly that Deuteronomy passage. I declare to you, and I speak, and I declare. Fascinating. So the Gospels, because what about the Gospels? The Gospels treated so solemnly in later Christian life and liturgy, because, by the way, if you go to a typical Catholic service on a Sunday, and I've seen this many times, you'll often see the scriptures, the Bible, brought held aloft, particularly in very high mass. The scriptures are carried forward to the front. Maybe the priest would be carrying them to the altar. So they're highly regarded and treated with great solemnity in ritual and liturgy. That's today. But John Barton says the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, treated so solemnly in later Christian life, are the distillation of traditions about Jesus, and as such were also naturally highly regarded and copied for subsequent generations, but they were not seen by the first Christians as verbally exact. There was no tradition, as there was in Judaism, of precise copying of the text, with the consequence that the New Testament manuscripts vary greatly and none is authoritative. So this tells us a lot. The fact that they were not seen by early Christians as verbally exact, they weren't that concerned with the precise wording. It was not like how Muslims view the Quran or how Jews view the words of Moses, you know, actual revelation. So that meant, consequently, in the early times, that there were many divergences and differences between the texts because they were not verbally carefully copied. John Barton continues, yet eventually what we call the New Testament books did become scripture in much the same sense as the Old Testament. That is, after all, how most Christians see them today. And in this chapter, he goes on to talk about when that happened, why that happened, and the whole historical process, which I won't go into now. And just to summarise, he says, thus the attitude of early Christians to what we call the Old and New Testaments was in the beginning radically different. And only over time did the collections even out and come to be seen as two components on an equal level of a holy Bible. Isn't that interesting? And he compares again, if you compare it with Judaism and Islam, right from the beginning, as soon as the words came out, were given to the Prophet Muhammad upon peace, they were understood to be revelation and were treasured as such and memorized and eventually written down as scripture right from the very, very beginning. And the same in the Jewish scriptures, particularly the Pentateuch and the Torah, this is seen as the word of God. But the early Christian writings were not. They were not seen as inspired. Yes, they contain extremely important material, and yes, it must be preserved, but it wasn't on the same level at that time as the Jewish scriptures. Only much later, in later centuries, did the two come together to form what we call today a Holy Bible. And the irony here is that when very conservative Christians or fundamentalist Christians particularly talk about, well, let's go back to the beliefs of the first Christians, let's purify our faith and reform it and go back to the beliefs of the early Christians, if they did that, they would stop believing that the New Testament was the Word of God. because the early Christians didn't believe that. There's a huge irony. And of course, for the early Christians, there was no New Testament anyway. No one in the first century had the New Testament. It hadn't been put together as a canon. And that came much later in the following centuries. So the whole point of this very brief video is just to show you that learning the truths about one's faith as a Christian or a Jew or Muslim can actually change one's mind and change one's perceptions of the historical truths and facts of the case. I certainly found that to be true for myself. And I invite you to go on the same journey of discovery by listening to scholars, reading their works, not uncritically accepting it, but nevertheless attending to what they have discovered, what they have uncovered for us. And that can change our worldview. And that can be for the better. Anyway, till next time.